Anyway, just go.
All right, well, whatever. It doesn't really matter because I've started recording, so I don't care what you have to say.
It's fucking fantastic.
And for those listening, yes, I've started recording, and there was a previous conversation, but that's not of concern. We have me mixing here with Nate the Quiet, or as I like to call him, Nate the Quee, because every time he's online with a guest, it always shows up with Nate the Quee, (1). Whatever, and then we have Brosif, and I think I'm saying that correct.
Brosif, it's like Joseph with the bro. I see you're not too familiar with the bro force, but that's fine. Good sir.
I might have to just call you Bra, like from Paper Mario. I'll just
negative,
call you Bra.
Negative. If you have to, worst comes to worst, just go with bro. I'll take it easy on you.
That's a negative, Ghost Rider.
No. That's, go ahead, proceed, sir.
He runs the page, The Bro Gamers, and we'd like to welcome you to the very first In Gaming We Trust podcast. Not like that's really much of an honor, but that's the point. So, we've got a little bit of structure set out, but that's not the point either.
The point is that
we're mostly winging this thing. So, I just want all of you, if anybody's actually listening to this, to know that we're winging it. It doesn't matter. We asked for people to list their Skype names on the page. Nobody listed the Skype name. And, so that kind of sucks. So we're not calling anybody else in here. We just have the three of us. Omni Gamer is out for this week. He was going to join us, but his internet connection is not working because Time Warner sucks, but that's not a problem that we have out here. So first question is, what was the idea behind the page?
All right, in regards to the Bro Gamers, there's actually a two-sided story to this. Originally, me and a buddy of mine, PJ, we bullshit a lot. He's probably one of my longest-running friends in over 10 years. We're making a joke about all the fucking, girl gamers, rawr, like, not the normal female gamers, but the one that slap, like, you in the face with their fucking ovaries. And there's no fucking dudes really out there if you go on the internet. So we thought it'd be kind of a funny joke to make a page called The Bro Gamers and just go forward with all the bro force and the guy comments and, oh, look, guys game too. And, you know, it was originally going to be a smart-ass page. However, as the page started, I focused also on gaming, and people responded well to that. So I've kind of modified it more so to focus just on gaming in general with some bro-related humor. So that's basically where it is today.
Kind of continuing off from your last page, which shall not be mentioned because I've already been yelled at for that multiple times.
I would never yell at you, sir. You're too sweet. But yeah, freaking, it's more kind of a hybrid. It's not as like news intensive or anything like that. It's more for just general discussion with some smart ass parodies along the way. So it's a little bit of both.
I found that mostly people aren't going to respond as much to the news stories as they are other things, like some of the things that I've been posting. Like, nobody really cares about the news because they get it everywhere.
Exactly.
It's not like they already aren't seeing it all over Facebook. So I've kind of strayed away from it. I've tried to, post the things that people are going to respond to. Like, I've been trying to do the debates. There's the tournament bracket up that I've been trying to get people to vote on.
I've seen that start to increase on your page, and I definitely do like that idea. I do wonder how you create the pairs for that, if it's just random picking names out of a hat or there's themes to the matchups.
No, that's all I did. I took 32 32 games or 16 games? I think I took the best 32 games of, let's see here. Yeah. I took the top 32 games from 2012, put all of them in a hat, and picked them straight from a hat. And there's been a couple of people that have claimed how that doesn't make any sense, and I don't see how that doesn't make sense. Every name for every game was picked solely out of a hat. It's 100% fair. There's no bias against any games, because most of the games on that list are fantastic games.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't do any malice by doing anything unfair.
So, well, from what I get, what I would think their criticism would be is that when you do the matchups, obviously you went for whatever the top games of the year were, whatever thought process originally, but by pulling them randomly, there really is no theme between which two. If you're just going for like a best games of the year, that would be a theme, but I think some people might have been confused about that from the beginning.
And I can understand that to a certain standpoint, but at the end of the day, it doesn't make sense to complain. Nathan, stop it.
I can't.
Do I want to ask, or?
He's just whispering on and on, illegibly.
Okay.
He doesn't want to talk very much because he's a loser. But,
oh.
That's besides, but either way, if you think about it, it's mm-hmm. still going to go on to another game against another game that might not have anything to do with that game.
So, well, yeah, at some point it would come to that, so I definitely get your point. I would have stated maybe a little clearer in the beginning, hey, you know, these are all the top games of the year. We're going to just put all these against each other, see which one was everybody's favorite by the time we finish. I don't know. That's just me how I would have presented it, but I get the idea, and I definitely think it works.
Well, the idea with even, like, the top 64 games of all time, like, mm-hmm. I've asked everybody's opinion on what their favorite game is. And maybe with that one, I'll look more at, like, what is more similar. Like, I know there's a lot of game titles on there that are, you know, in the same franchise. So mm-hmm. I think the idea there is to put those against each other in the first round to see, you know, which ones will go on. And that's kind of a theme that I will run with in the future, but I think if it's the top games of the year, it shouldn't matter where their placement is, no matter what, on the list.
Okay, well, I can hear you on that. I mean, it might have just been a miscommunication between you and the page, but, I mean, I see more people responding now, which is definitely a good sign.
So, yeah, and what was the current one? I forgot to do it yesterday because I had a really long day going on yesterday. But currently, we've got both of the two up, which are Lego Lord of the Rings versus Assassin's Creed 3, which those games are actually kind of similar. Like, not in terms of, like,
If we had the time, I would love to hear you break down how you got to that conclusion.
Just more along the lines of they're more action-adventure games. They're somewhat in the same genre, while mm-hmm. in other terms being completely different genres. We have plenty of time. We're, you know, I'm not sure how long this is going to go, so we have... But other than that, we've got Paper Mario Sticker Star versus Resident Evil Revelations, which those are the only two 3DS games on this tournament bracket. So, okay. Like, the fact that those got pulled out of the hat when they did, I think is perfect timing because those are the only two there.
No, I definitely think that one worked at least better than some of the other ones. So.
Well, yeah, there was a lot of Journey versus Mass Effect 3 that people were upset about.
Yes, that one was a bit amusing when I saw that one.
I think the other one was, there was some backlash about Diablo 3 versus New Super Mario Brothers.
Okay. Did they say why, or was it just negative reception?
It was just the idea of how Mario goes against Diablo, and, like, I guess, you know, just people want to complain.
Well, I'm sure Mario sleeps well at night considering how many titles he sold over his years, so I don't think he's going to be too upset. I think he'll be all right.
I think... Let's see here, what else do we have? For what we've got coming up, we've got some interesting matchups as far as I'm concerned. What do we got here? Far Cry 3 versus Max Payne 3.
All right, I think pretty solid matchup.
I think that's great. The problem after that is there's one for Resident Evil 6 versus FIFA 13.
FIFA. I'm sorry, go ahead.
And neither of those games are any good whatsoever.
No. There's one that may not be that good, and then there's one that's almost insultive. So I think there's still a pretty clear distinction between the two.
Okay, well, whatever. That's not the point. But, yeah. Otherwise, we have... It's a floated post on the page. If you put one of your favorite games on it, I'll write it down on the list I have. I'm currently up to 43 games on this list, and we still need... up to at least 64. If we get more than 64, I'll definitely be pulling games out of a hat to see which ones are at least going to be in the tournament. And then we'll go from there as to where they'll be placed. And I think I'll leave that up to the community to decide if they want me to pull them randomly from a hat or mm-hmm. if I should go more genre-based and do it that way.
I would want to interrupt you with a quick question. So you're taking the suggestions straight from the community, right?
I'm planning on it, yes.
Now, what if somebody lists games like Superman 64 and other titles that are just known for being god-awful?
Well,
Will they be included if the fans want it?
I'm kind of... There's a few games that are currently on the list right now that people have commented that I have not written down.
Any examples you'd care to share? Because I'm curious as to what your barometer for good and great is.
Well, there's a game, Tales of Something. I don't remember what it was called. I can look it up really quick. It was a game that came out before Tales of Symphonia for the GameCube. I wrote Tales of Symphonia down because I remember playing that game. But the game that was listed, I don't, what was it? Tales of Destiny.
Okay.
So I have not written that one down yet, and as much as I would like to, it's just, it's one that I've, a lot of people I don't think have actually heard of.
Okay.
So I haven't written it down yet. If I, if it comes to the point where I need to, like, I'll definitely do it. But if it's obviously a bad game, I'm not going to write it down. I'm not going to consider putting it on there.
Okay.
Because it doesn't make sense to all the other great games that are on the list to put something like Superman 64 on here.
All right, so me posting that in the next few minutes will not sway the bracket, is what you're telling me.
No, it will not.
I will delete that comment. All right, we're good.
So even if my supreme hatred for Super Mario 64, somebody comments it, I understand why everybody thinks it's a great game. Even if I'm completely biased against it, I will write it down if somebody does suggest it. But
Well, super, that was my first 3D game ever. It's amazing.
I'll leave it at that because I don't agree.
And then Super Smash Brothers came out.
So, we do have a big conversation ahead of us, which I'm going to save for a little bit, because first off, this is not all about gaming, and I've said that multiple times. It's just because the name was so perfect that, you know, it kind of revolved around gaming, but that's not necessarily where we're going. So, like, we post some non-gaming stuff all the time. Like, some of my personal stuff to post is Doctor Who stuff that I find on other pages. But what's going to be coming a lot more in the future is stuff related to The Walking Dead, because in 2 days, my life is going to be sitting on that chair for an hour watching the new episode of Walking Dead.
You and the other 10 million of us, sir. We will be glued to our damn couches, man.
Which is still disappointing to me because I still haven't read the new issue that came out last month, and there's another one coming out this month that I haven't been able to read yet. But, so, I just want quick ideas as to what's possibly going to happen once we kick back into that. So, I'm going to let Nathan go first on this one.
Let Bobby first.
All right, so you're asking me what, to predict the season of The Walking Dead, or just what my general, like, feel of the show is going to be?
Like, what you think might actually happen, finally. Like, what we've been waiting to see that we might actually get to see now.
Well, I think, obviously, obviously everybody who's listening, spoilers, you know, if you haven't seen up to the recent series, you might want to just block yourself off for the next few minutes. That being said, you know, obviously you have the showdown at the governor's camp, you know, between the brothers. That, you know, is obviously going to be a massive fucking shit pile. You've seen the trailers, you know, and the big thing, I think, is going to be Andrea and where she's going to fucking side with. Because on one hand, you know, that was her old group. You know, they did bond together over time, even if it wasn't always the smoothest relationship. But then you have now her in bed with the governor. How is that going to work out? I think you're going to see her surprise a lot of people with who she chooses to side with come the next couple weeks of The Walking Dead.
Well, I don't really have much else to add to that other than the fact that I just want to see Rick and the governor interact. Because for anybody that's read the comic book like I have, and you've seen how they interacted in the comic book, it's way different than what they've done in the show. And because in the comic book, they were the first two to meet.
Mm-hmm.
And the comic book is just so much different than the TV show is. Because, like, Daryl and Merle aren't characters in the comic book. T-Dog was not a character in the comic book.
Mm-hmm. See, I'm one of the many that, you know, you are the ones that are educated because you've had the comic experience. I am one of the many who did not read the comics before the show. So for me, there's no, you know, contradiction, there's no difference. It's all new to me, so I have no, you know, bias, not bias, but any prior knowledge to what should or could happen, per se, even though they do alter it for the show.
Well, yeah, even if I were to say, like, what happened in the comic book, that's not necessarily even going to happen in the show. And that's what at least one of my favorite things about the show is that I don't know what happens. Like, it follows the same basic storyline, but then just completely fucks everything in the process.
Which I definitely think is to the show's benefit, because you don't have to worry about the fucking spoilers and all that kind of shit, because, you know, you don't know. The people who read the comic can't guarantee you what happens next week, which is definitely one of the better strengths of how they're running the program.
Unless you're obviously a black person, and then you're just going to die as soon as they introduce a new black person, because that seems to be a running theme here.
Yeah, they still have at least one guy on the show, you know, at least one still living, so you got to give him credit. They at least have somebody there.
It's Tyrese, who, you know, is the new black person.
She should have at least a few episodes. I'm thinking I'd give him at least 4 episodes.
Well, he was a big factor in the comic book. Like him and Rick ended up like bonding really well. And I don't know how that interaction's gonna happen between them, because in the comic book they met long before they ever got to the prison, and he still hasn't met Tyrese yet. Tyrese is at the prison. Mm-hmm. I think I'm getting that. It better be his name. If it's Tyrone, I'm going to be angry. But I think it is Tyrese. But
close enough.
So one thing that you said you wanted to talk about was the Wii U, because
you don't
have one. You're kind of considering it, and Nathan and I both do have one. Did you get the deluxe bundle, Nathan?
Yes, I did.
So
you know it.
Well, because I just got the basic 8 gig set, because I thought GameStop was running a fantastic deal, and they gave me the 8 gig white set along with a copy of New Super Mario Bros. U, a Wii remote, and a 16 gig flash drive. So I was thinking, you know, if I'm only 8 gig shorter and I'm only paying $370, like I'm not really gonna fuss about it. I'm getting Super Mario Bros. Like, oh, let's do this.
All right, now, since you guys are the Wii U experts here, I do have a couple questions from the non-Wii U owner perspective. The biggest question, first off, how does that fucking controller work? Does it feel natural? Does it feel right?
Well, all right. Well, here, I'm gonna hold it while I explain this to you, because this
thing... I'm sorry, you're going to what?
Well,
just hold this Wii.
I had to make that joke. Please carry on.
Well...
Just hold this Wii pad.
I'm going to jerk off with my Wii remote in the dark, but that's not the point.
Okay.
Sounds like a plan.
So, all right. Well, I'm holding the Wii U gamepad right now, and the first thing that I noticed as soon as I actually held one was how light this thing is. Like, it's insane how natural this thing does really feel in your hand. It doesn't feel out of place. The one thing that does kind of throw me off is the fact that your hands are spread more out a little bit than they would be on, say, a 360 controller.
All right.
But other than that, like, I have not had a single problem with it. I think it works wonderfully. The touchscreen is beautiful. It's a 720p screen. It's not full HD, mm-hmm. like the Wii U would be on the TV, which it is 1080p. But it still looks beautiful. Like, Mario in HD is probably one of the greatest things that I've ever had the opportunity to play. I have no complaints about it, other than the fact that Mario is a little too easy for what it should have been. But New Super Mario Bros. U, I will go on record as stating, might have one of the most fun Bowser boss battles I have ever played. I really, really enjoyed it.
And then a follow-up question to the original question, I guess this would be a sub-question of sorts. The other issue with the controller that a lot of people talked about, looking up and down, looking up and down, looking up and down, you're managing two screens instead of one. Did that fuck with you at all as a Wii U owner, or did it feel natural as well, looking up and down constantly?
The only issue that I've had with it... Well, hold on one second.
All right.
Wow. As for me, it took a little getting used to, but...
It just depends on what game you're playing, and the only one that I've really had the issue of... Like, not even issue of, the only one that I've had experience with was playing Zombie U. And,
okay.
In Zombie U, like, it works. It works beautifully. Like, the idea of, like, this is your inventory screen or your map, instead of having to go to a separate menu to find your map, I think when it's done correctly, it's beautiful. And I haven't had any other experience other than Zombie U. I suppose the only other one that I'd really want to try out right now would be Batman Arkham City. But I haven't had that opportunity yet. It's basically what it is a DS on a bigger scale.
Okay, but with the, see, but with the DS though, you have the two screens right there. It's essentially one screen for all intents and purposes.
For all intents and
purposes. When you have the TV and then your hand, there is a bigger window, a much greater angle of view you have to account for.
Well, there is a much bigger view of angle, yes, but at the same time, it's not like you're going that far from the TV to what's in your hands. It's not that big of a difference. And most of the times, I found myself actually lifting the Wii U gamepad up to my line of vision when I was playing Zombie U, because it has you kind of looking around on the gamepad in terms of, like, in terms of hacking equipment. You have to look around and, like, hack the equipment. And so most of the times, either way, I felt myself bringing the Wii U gamepad up to my eye level as it is. So it didn't seem as much of a hindrance as most people make it out to be.
All right, fair enough. You know, get a little extra arm workout in addition to the game. That's definitely an added plus. My other question as a non-Wii U owner, while we're on this Wii subject, would be the online. That was the Wii's biggest issue, was the fucked up circus that was online for Nintendo. How does the Wii U act in comparison?
Well, one thing, first things first, there is absolutely no friend codes.
Amen. That, so, I'm very happy to hear that.
That is probably the best thing Nintendo could have gone with, because the 3DS still has friend codes. And, like, as I'm holding my 3DS for some reason, I don't know why, like, that's still my issue with Nintendo, is the friend codes.
Mm.
So, like, in terms of that, first things first, it's a genius system, so much better that they got rid of it. But at the same time, in order to have somebody as a friend, you still have to register them as a friend, and then they have to also register you, instead of doing it, you know, the easy way Xbox Live does it, or even Facebook for that matter. You send the friend request and all they have to do is confirm it.
Okay.
But instead you have to both, you know, add each other as a friend, and then through that it'll, you know, make you friends. I haven't really played an online game.
Okay.
So I haven't had much experience from that, but from what I've seen, at least, even with something like Black Ops 2, like, I've seen people playing Black Ops 2 just on the gamepad itself, and it runs just as smoothly as the Xbox 360 does. So in terms of, like, how bad the online service was, it's on Xbox quality level, because PSN is just awful in terms of server quality, because it doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
And type.
Yes.
So, well, because Nathan has all three, so what do you prefer, Nathan? I'm sure I already know the answer to this question, but what do you prefer in terms of what system that you're currently using?
Well, for me, it's 360. I just go all 360, because most people I know have a 360, so.
Plus, you have how many games at this point?
A ton. I think that's a number.
At last count, I know you were over 80.
Holy shit.
I think it's like a couple hundred now, total.
A couple hundred. Oh, and well, yeah, because you've got all the downloaded games, too. But that, okay.
I think your page needs to do a giveaway of some of the guys in the games over here, man. You know, he's got many to spare. I'm sure you could toss a couple for the page, right?
Okay. I just give away my games and open the door, get buried.
You wouldn't even notice when you have that many.
If I had one gripe against Nintendo's entire online system, it's the idea of your purchases are tied to your system.
So you sell it, someone else is like, ooh, free game.
Like, I had sold my DSi, or not my DSi, but my 3DS XL. I traded it in towards my Wii U. And, cause I knew I was just gonna get another one. And, like, your purchases are tied to the system, not, you know, your actual account. Which, at the end of the day, just seems like it's kinda going backwards from where we are with the 360 and the PS3. That your purchases are tied to your account, not just the system.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, that's something that Nintendo has talked about doing, but at this point in time you can't do it. You can't even take your Nintendo Network ID with you to another person's Wii U. Like, if I were to go over to Nate's house, like, I can't use my Nintendo Network ID on his Wii U.
Ah. Okay, see, I know for a lot of us that either download a lot of games or like to go to different people's houses, and you know, that is kind of an issue that they really should work out, or they should have had worked out before the Wii U came out, in my opinion.
Well,
I mean, come on, with how Xbox has done and how PSN, even to a lesser extent, has done, you know, it's kind of a weak, you know, weekend for them still to be catching up.
When PSN originally came out, one of the things that I actually did really like about it was the game sharing option.
Oh, that was fantastic.
I thought that was a beautiful idea. But I can understand the fact that Nintendo wanted to be first in terms of the next generation. Like, they wanted to get out there and let everybody else know that they were first. And they're just not, they didn't have as strong of an advertising campaign as, say, the Wii had. Because the Wii was sold out everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
You go anywhere now and you can find a Wii U easy. And it's only been out for about 3 months now, so it's not like it's been out forever.
I don't really hear about it, or, you know, I don't hear anybody really talking about it. I don't see a lot of news on it.
I don't even see any advertisements about it. Like, there's no advertisements for Wii U games that are currently out right now. Like, I never saw an advertisement for New Super Mario Bros. U.
Same here.
So I like, the only reason that I would have seen one is from Nintendo's YouTube channel, which is the only place that I'm seeing any trailers for any games that they currently have coming out is from their YouTube channel. That's it. That's all that I see. There's
I almost kind of wonder if they just bank on their previous success. So they just assume, you know, the Nintendo hardcore will follow. We don't need to advertise as much. We know who will be buying this.
That's the thing. Like, the Nintendo hardcore followed. I followed. I have one, clearly, because I think it's a fantastic piece of technology. But if you talk to the casual gamer that's playing Angry Birds or was playing Wii Fit on the Wii or Wii Tennis or whatever, I know plenty of people that don't even know what it is.
Oh, definitely. I'm not surprised by that at all.
Everybody that I worked with, nobody knew what it was. And that's a good at least 10 people that I work with, and nobody knew, because nobody had seen anything about it on TV. There was no advertisements for it. I've seen the Wii U advertisement, and it was blared everywhere in November, but you don't see it anywhere anymore. Like, there's nothing to show for it. And they're getting all the big titles on the Wii U this year, too. Like, they're not really missing anything.
So, well, besides the advertisements, obviously.
Well, yeah. But they're getting full retail releases for all these games that a lot of developers looked over for the original Wii. Like, there wasn't a point to making a Wii version where you're basically backpedaling to the last generation. At least now we have, you know, a full HD system that works with current and next-gen games. So,
now, speaking of the next gen, I'm not sure how you wanted to segue the conversations here, but I've seen a lot of people talking about, obviously, Nintendo's come out already. We're bound to see something from Sony and Microsoft soon. But we're also hearing about Valve's fucking system. Which one are you guys most looking forward to between Sony, Microsoft, and Valve?
Well, I know Sony is possibly announcing the PS4 Orbis or whatever you want to call it.
20th.
On the 20th. Now, that's not confirmed. We don't necessarily know that. I know a lot of people are just jumping to conclusions because they want to see what it is.
Exactly.
But it's not a I'm not looking at it as a confirmation. That's the last thing I'm actually looking at. I want to know what they have to say, because I'm not a big fan of the PlayStation 3. Like, it has fantastic games. God of War and Uncharted, just to name a few, and The Last of Us looks amazing.
Oh, easily. That's one of the main reasons I finally caught up to getting a PS3 was The Last of Us. That just looks fucking like an orgasm in a disc. It just looks fantastic.
But, like, I don't want to jump to conclusions, because the two things that I think the PlayStation 3 has as a downfall is, A, their online service just doesn't work correctly.
I think you'll see that hotly debated when you post that, so let me know. I'll have to keep an eye on that. I've known many PlayStation users who vouch for it being as good as live, at least in regards to online performance.
Well, it just depends. Because when I played online multiplayer games, Black Ops, Uncharted, I'm trying to think of some of the other ones. I know I played, I don't remember what it was called. It was a free multiplayer game, and I'm trying to think of what it was. Mm-hmm. But I never had a secure connection on any of them. I was always lagging in some way or another that I wouldn't be on my Xbox that's sitting right next to it that would do just fine in a comparison test. Like, I feel like I'm getting more for my money in terms of paying for Xbox Live than I am getting a free service that doesn't live up to my expectations for what this current console generation should be.
Okay.
So, especially with how Xbox is and how beautifully the Xbox runs with Xbox Live in terms of multiplayer support and everything, it, for the most part, it doesn't always work because things never always work as they are. But it just didn't live up to what the Xbox can do in terms of online services, at least in my opinion.
Okay. See, I, like I said, all of mine is secondhand testimonial, so I can't avidly argue on its defense. What I can say is I think that will be a hotly contested point, as many of the PlayStation users I know vouch for that shit with a passion. Whether that's due to a little bias for all the years that Sony has given of quality games, or if it's actually legitimate praise, you know, that's a debatable point.
Well, I'm not trying to talk down to the PlayStation. I think the PlayStation 3 is a fantastic system. It has fantastic games. Maybe I think I just had it at the wrong time because I bought Mortal Kombat for the PlayStation 3 instead of getting it for the Xbox in terms of achievements. Like, I mainly bought my PlayStation 3 for PlayStation exclusives because if it was on the Xbox, I wanted it to play for achievements.
Yeah.
And I passed up getting achievements on Mortal Kombat in favor of playing as Kratos, because that was the best thing that they could have given us, to let us play as Kratos.
Agreed.
The day after Mortal Kombat came out, the outage hit.
Oh, I forgot about that. Okay, I remember those good times.
So, like, I had bought this system to play online because I knew my friends were also getting it for the PlayStation 3 because they wanted to play as Kratos, and that was why I bought it for the PlayStation. And I couldn't do it for the next 2 months. And so I got a little burnt out after that, after not being able to play for a few months. And some of the games required me to be online to play. And then,
really?
I don't remember why. It was some... I don't even remember what the name of the game was that wouldn't let me do it. But...
I don't remember hearing about any DRM-like structures on PlayStation games before, so that would be a little bit of news to me, actually, so... if you get that back to me, when you remember what it is, please let me know, because I'm curious about that one.
But, and then, the only other gripe that I have with it is the controller is not very comfortable in my hands, because those triggers stick out way too far, and they don't feel natural to me, in terms of what the controller was for the PlayStation 2. Those were the two gripes that I ever had with the PlayStation. In terms of the Wii U, because it's already out, and it's the first console of the next generation, if the rumors about what Sony and Microsoft are doing to their consoles in terms of DRM, the Wii U is the console that you need to be looking at, because it's the only one that's not doing that.
Now, in regards to are we segueing into the official fucking next-gen rumor conversation at this point?
That was my official segue into it.
Awesome.
See?
All right, just clarify. It seemed pretty on the ball.
Little bit of structure, trying to wing most of it.
Not too bad you're not, just taking two fucking shits and throwing them to the wind. That's nice. I appreciate that. In regards to the next-gen, the rumors are, there's multiple in number. You're hearing about used games blockage. You're hearing about always online DRM crap.
Well, yep.
There's a multitude of rumors coming out.
The one thing you and I have talked about is the fact that about a month ago, Sony released a patent to allow their next-generation console to not be able to play used games. And I know we've talked about this because companies will patent anything just so they have the patent, so if somebody else tries to do it, they can, do something about it. Because they have that much money, they can patent whatever they want. But that's besides the point, is they went out and they filed a patent for it. And so, yeah, I understand they might not use it, but it's still the idea of... not everybody's going to be able to do this. And there is a big argument in a group that we are in about this. And I had to stop commenting because I felt almost like I was actually being personally attacked about my opinion on what's going to happen.
I did notice that, not to interrupt you obviously on that, that conversation, as with all gaming conversations, they go on long enough, they eventually get heated, especially when you have more of a volatile or aggressive personality in the mix. To fill your people in what was going on, is we were debating what is the likelihood Now, keep in mind, we're all going off speculation, but what is the likelihood that Sony or Microsoft would implement blocking used games? Now, in regards to our end here, I'll let Dan go next after me, and then, you know, if Quiet Man in the back wants to chime in after that, of course, he's more than happy to. I think it will not happen unless Sony and Microsoft had a secret back alley date and agreed to do it in tandem. If Sony or Microsoft went ahead and say, hey, we're blocking your used games, and the other guy went, guess what, you could play them on ours. That's it. The console war is over in regards to them too.
And even if they both come out swinging against used games, Nintendo isn't doing this. Nintendo is going to get back into the spotlight that they haven't had since the Super Nintendo days. As soon as the first PlayStation came out, Nintendo's momentum kind of flew away because of what Sony was doing. Yeah. If Microsoft and Sony both block used games, Nintendo, as I've already said, is going to be the system to look at because they aren't doing that. They are getting all the big releases. You have two screens that, when done correctly, which I haven't seen it been done incorrectly yet, is beautiful. And you have this glorious piece of technology that will definitely be cheaper than what Sony and Microsoft are releasing, because you have to think I've read reports that they're going to be north of $400, and now I'm saying read reports, not confirmed anything, because none of these do confirm anything, but I've read reports saying that. Granted, the other problem that I have with it is a lot of internet companies restrict how much you can actually download in terms of your bandwidth.
Okay.
And, you know, because they will put a cap on it. As far as I know, I don't have one, so I'm not to be affected by that at all. But I, like, if you have a cap, you can only purchase maybe two games at a time. If this whole digital download thing does happen, they are going to have to remove that cap, because there is no way that we are going to be downloading everything in terms of gaming and have a cap.
I do agree that, at least in America, with our bandwidth issues, all of those gamers at one time, like, imagine like a COD or a Halo night when like millions of assholes are at midnight launches, replace the midnight launch with a download fest. You're not going to have that many millions of assholes downloading that shit in a nation struggling with bandwidth issues in the first place. It's just not going to work out well for anybody involved.
And the one thing that did get mentioned to me during our debate earlier, which kind of more or less turned into an argument as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, God bless the internet.
Which is why I kind of like just backed off because I didn't want to get into any more of it. One point that did get mentioned to me is, if we do go all digital, if this does happen, like, the one thing that would happen is, if you're waiting in line for the next generation of consoles, yet I would really pray that they would at least bundle it with something already downloaded on the console. But then you're even paying, you know, then you're still going home and waiting maybe 2.5 to 8 hours to download another game that you want to play. And with the way games work now, if you're playing something, it downloads even slower.
I think there are going to be issues with that. I mean, just because how massive games are now in size. I mean, the average game is how many gigs? Like, you ever install, like, I install all my games to the hard drive when I play on the Xbox.
I stopped doing that because it takes up too much time. I'd rather just play.
And it's also the space. I mean, imagine just download, what's one thing to put it on a disc to the hard drive, but just downloading that off the magic of the internet's millions in mass at a time, it's going to be a pain in the ass for a lot of people. The internet providers, the consumers, it's going to be an ugly bit of affairs.
And personally, in my opinion, I'd rather have it on disc. I'd rather have a physical copy of something. And the one game that I had to go out and buy digitally was Fire Emblem Awakening. I don't have a problem with buying things digitally if I have to, but at the end of the day, I'd rather have a physical copy of it.
See, I used to think like that. I do enjoy the convenience of having it all on the system. I do enjoy it prevents me. I'm a bit of a sellback. I'm about a trade back whore. I have a bad habit of, when I want something new and shiny, I'll trade in a couple things.
Exactly.
Or pawn off a couple things. It does help me keep a bigger library if it's all on there. But I think it should be an option. I would like to see, at least in my vision, they still sell the retail, but the same day they also have a digital version. That would, to me, be the best way to go.
That is exactly, as I keep saying it, but if this happens with Sony and Microsoft, that they block used games, GameStop isn't going to sell their console, they're not going to support it. if you want to buy something digitally or you want to buy it at disc, once again, you're going to be looking at Nintendo. I've said it, I've talked to you about this, I've posted it everywhere. The fact is, Nintendo releases all retail games on the 3DS and the Wii U at retail stores, and they offer it digitally. Day one release, it's on there digitally, and you can purchase it there if you want to. Otherwise, you can go out and get yourself a retail copy. I agree with you about, you know, not ended up like trading my games away, but I've actually been pretty good of it as of late, like not trading everything away, because we're getting more down to like we have collections of games, or we have like with Gears 1, 2, and 3, we're not going to trade any of those because we have all three of them. Yeah. That's why we're getting Judgment. Granted, if like they're taking a lot out of Judgment, but we're still going to have it because we have the other three.
Okay.
Like, in terms of that, like most of the games we have nowadays, like just on my shelf right now, are because we have them due to, you know, we have the others in the series, or they're all by a certain developer, like stuff like that.
See, I think another thing in regards to this next-gen systems, I don't think necessarily Nintendo will be the only one that's benefiting, or at least they might even be the best person benefiting. I think Valve stands the most to gain, because Nintendo has its own little end of the universe. No matter what, they have their Zelda, their Mario diehards. With Valve getting ready to enter in the console market, with the, you know, the love for Steam that's out there, if Microsoft and Sony don't act right, Valve can easily come in and sweep the disenfranchised console players right from both camps.
And the thing about the Steam Box is it's going to be cheap. It's not going to be expensive to have or to own at all. It'll be more like an Ouya system, or I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly, or the other system that's out. I can't remember the name off the top of my head, but the one where you're basically you buy the game, but you're playing it digitally. Like, you don't have to download it or anything. If Steam does that, where they release the Steam Box, and it doesn't require you to download the game.
You're talking about the live streaming of the game?
Yeah, live streaming the game, instead of having to sit there and download a game for in terms of 8 hours if you're buying a full retail game. If they stream the games onto the Steam Box, I think that's genius, because I know there's a company that's already doing that. I think
Sony's going to be doing that with Gaikai. I forgive my pronunciation there, but they have the possibility of doing a streaming games option themselves.
But the only thing that I have against streaming games is you don't really own it. You're kind of renting it until you can't play it on that, like you can't play it on the next generation of systems anymore. Like if they take out the fact that if the next generation of consoles takes away used games, that makes my entire Xbox 360 library that I currently own useless. Like, I don't see how I'm going to be able to play any of that on the next generation unless they don't do it for 360 games, they just do it for the next generation games.
They would have to. There'd be way too many people that would just, I mean, I would definitely think it'd be as of today, ending release from this date forward, it has the blocks in place. Like you said, no one would be able to fucking play their games from the old generation.
The only other thing that I have against it is it's going to kill the rental business. It's going to kill, as much as like I know people hate used games, I know they hate GameStop, I don't. I don't always have the money to put down $60 for a brand new video game. I would love to save up for it, but I have a child at the same time who is, you know, top priority. I set aside money for games that I can afford. It's not all the time that I can pay as much as I want to. Taxes aside, that's out of the way now. I have everything pre-ordered that I want to because of that. But I still don't have all the money at the same time that I would throughout the rest of the year. And I think if I have to buy every single game new, they need to at least reduce the prices of the games, and it can't happen. And I understand that it can't happen due to the fact that $60 is a reasonable price for a video game these days.
Depending on the game. I could debate you on that one.
Okay, it's a reasonable price for a AAA title that is a fantastic game. Like some of the games that are coming out, just to mention a few, Injustice is totally worth it. I'm paying $150 for Injustice because I want to get the fight stick with it. Okay. BioShock is $60. You know, games like that, games that are obviously going to be worth it, and you know that are totally worth it, because I don't think I pre-ordered a game this year that I don't think I'm going to like. Mm-hmm. So for the most part, about 90% of the time, $60 is reasonable for a full retail AAA release. And a lot of games don't come out at $60 either. So a lot of Wii games came out at $50, but Wii U games are now $60. But the thing I have against it is, I don't think they're going to be $60. I think they're going to be $70 for the sole fact that with every console generation, games have went up by at least $10.
Yeah, you're right. Because they have a 40 PS1, 50 PS2. So, yeah, you know, that's about right. At least the last three generations, that's been the trend.
Well, I know Super Nintendo games were around 40 too, but I'm kind of going off, you know, what the trend has been in terms of current generation. And if you think about it, if games are now going to be $70, you're spending $70 on a game that you really don't own because you can't do anything with it. I could take my TV to a pawn shop and Emerson isn't going to complain that I'm selling my TV.
Oh no, I agree. It's like the whole analogy, you know, in terms of the game companies attacking the used sales. You know, I can go buy a used car. You're not going to see Ford implement a fucking procedure where if I drive a used car, it's going to blow up in my fucking face. You
Ford
know, it'd be ridiculous.
Ford is the one selling you that used car.
How many used dealerships do you see out there? It's just fucking, it's insane how aggressively it's being attacked. And I think part of the problem is the game companies are just mismanaging their own fucking funds. Yes, it's nice to create these massive AAA titles, but if you are the one that's hiring 700-man teams, working 12 hours a day for 2 years, recreating 8 fucking realistic cities down to every fucking grain of salt, maybe you should look at how you're operating as a business. Can you not make a game that's fun, but maybe a little smaller in scale? Can you not focus maybe on more cost effective? I mean, you are a business. Yes, you're creating art, but you are a fucking business. If you can't run your business properly, is the only way to go is to attack the consumers and to take away basic consumer rights? I think it's a sad state of affairs for the industry that their solution isn't look at us, is we're going to fuck with you instead.
Well, yeah, and I completely agree with that idea behind that. But, like, I'm a big fan of GameStop. I'm not quiet about it. I tell everybody that, at least in terms of my local GameStop, I really like the service that I get from there. I think, for the most part, the trade-in rates are fair. If I'm selling something, it's only because I really need money for something specific. Like, if I'm selling a game, it's because I need gas. That's it. So it's not like I really need that much. And if I get $10, that's $10 that's going in the gas tank. Then that's totally fine by me. That's what I'm selling it for.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, in terms of trading in games, like, I think the Power Up Rewards program is a fantastic deal. You're getting 10% extra on anything you trade in, and I think that's completely fair. I got $80 today on 3-4 games.
Do you think that's the common experience? Because I don't believe there'd be the GameStop if that was the case.
It's the same thing that the hate Microsoft gets for their awful customer service. So it's the same thing there. It's that a lot of people that get hired by GameStops around the nation aren't as knowledgeable as the guys that I go to. The people that I go to know what they're talking about. If I have a question, they have an answer. It's as simple as that. Like, my experience has never been a bad one. And I understand that no matter what, it's just my experience. Everybody else has a different opinion that's going to be different than mine, and I totally get that. And I understand that a lot of people that GameStop hires are not good. The GameStop that I used to go to when I didn't live here sucked. In terms of just the one GameStop that I have in my area, it doesn't suck because everybody there knows who I am. They know that I'm always going in there, and they appreciate what I do for them. Because the more money I spend there, the more hours they get.
Yeah.
And the more hours they get, the better I feel because I know that I'm helping them.
See, no, I get where you're going with that. I don't think it's necessarily just the customer service GameStop that kills people.
I
think a big, like, compare it to Steam, Amazon, other major portals for games and this crazy fucking sales they have on a regular basis, you don't really see as much of that on GameStop's end. I think gamers have begun to question the meaning of value in regards to how much they should spend for their fucking games in comparison to the other portals.
Well, as I was walking out of GameStop today because I picked up a few things, they're currently offering, if you spend $50 at GameStop between the 23rd of January and I think it was sometime in March, if you spend at least $50, you're automatically entered into a prize to win $1,000.
Okay, you cannot compare a one in a gajillion chance to win some cash in comparison. Did you see the Steam holiday sales?
I'm aware
every
of that.
Day,
I'm
like,
just,
like the entire series is like 50 to 75% off, like Assassin's Creed, the Borderlands series. You can't compare it.
And I get that. And the reason that they're able to do those sales is because you're really only licensing the game. You're not really owning it. In terms of, like, what Steam does, what Steam does is fantastic. I'm not gonna dispute that at all. And I understand that GameStop doesn't have those kinds of promotions because they can't afford to do stuff like that. And, like, I understand, like, why that would put gamers off in a different tangent of whatever, but I think their pre-order bonuses alone kind of make up for that because they do get the best pre-order bonuses for any game that at least I know of.
How many pre-order bonuses really seem worth it? I mean, a lot of the pre-order bonuses I see, maybe a fucking costume or maybe one gun. I mean, I have not seen some mind-blowing pre-order.
I'm trying to think of the last
one. Sway me in recent time.
I don't remember the last one that I got that I really did like. Because a lot of games now don't come with pre-order bonus, like great pre-order bonuses, because they're too worried about you buying the game new that they have to, you know, tell you. You have to buy it new because otherwise, you know, there's an online pass, or a pass if you want to play it. Otherwise, you have to spend $10 to play the full game. I can't remember the last great pre-order bonus.
Then it may not have been that great. If it was great, maybe it would have been actually memorable.
I have a really bad memory in terms of what games I have picked up recently. I'll be the first to admit. Like, I don't know what any of the pre-order bonuses are for the games that I currently do have on pre-order, but I know that they're gonna be better than anywhere else I get them pre-ordered from, and I think that's maybe me being a little bit biased, but
I think it may be, because like with other titles that I've seen, like when it was Resident Evil, I wanna say 6, like, you know, Best Buy had this map. You know, Amazon had this map. GameStop had this map. There wasn't really a distinction. When I've seen, you know, what was it? Maybe Gears 3, you know, in terms of the characters. This place got one character. This place got the other. It seems more uniform now.
It's more uniform now, but I'm talking about before, like, Best Buy started doing pre-orders. The best pre-orders you could get were from GameStop because they did offer you everything that would come with the pre-order.
The problem is that was then, this is now.
Well, yeah.
And that's why
I was talking more then, obviously.
Yeah.
I'm gonna get a lot of flack for that because my memory sucks.
Oh no, that's fine. I'm sure those who know you and know your page and know how you are can account for your memory lapse, but still know your general knowledge of games. I don't think they'll question you on a memory lapse. We all have a brain fart.
So, yeah, well, I don't know, I support them, and I understand that if the next generation of consoles bans the sale, the use of used games, GameStop has went on record saying that they will not support that specific company, and gamers as a whole won't support the company because of this.
You don't think they will?
I don't think GameStop will.
No, I'm saying you don't think gamers will still, in mass, support those companies, even if they take it in the ass.
What I'm saying is, as gamers as a group of people as a whole, for the most part, are smart enough to know better.
I will argue that. Finish your point, and then I'll counter it.
Because I've not heard one single person say that this is a good thing whatsoever, and that I think the entire gaming community will boycott this until Microsoft and Sony realize, especially if they're selling the console at a loss, that this is not a smart business move.
I almost feel like we need to set up a wager right now, just because it's on record.
Well, I understand that people are still going to buy into it, no matter what. Like, people are still gonna wait in line for days to get whatever the next generation console is. It's just the way things always have been and what they will continue to be. It's gonna happen regardless, but it's not gonna happen on such a big scale as it would, say, for the 360 or the PlayStation 3, for that matter. The fact that so many people bought the PlayStation 3 when it was over $600 when it was released still boggles my mind to this day. Mm-hmm. But I don't think it will be as massive just for the sole fact that this is happening, and it's not even so much the fact that I know a lot of people that don't play used games. They buy all their games new, whether they buy it at $60 or they wait for it to come down in price. They still buy their games new. And I think even then, it's just still the principle of the fact that they're taking away our rights as gamers, that people are gonna accept the fact that we are going to boycott this until they realize that this is a bad move and they need to fix it immediately.
How many successful boycotts in games can you name off the top of your head, if any?
I know there's a few, but once again,
Like Mass Effect 3 ending.
Okay, well, see, Nathan has been quiet for the past half an hour, and he already comes up with an answer better than whatever I had.
Maybe he should be the one leading the conversation.
I almost agree with you.
Now, in regards to his answer, which is the best example any of you could have given, it's probably been the most successful. But then again, they didn't really boycott it because they already bought the damn product. That was in relation to just, essentially complaining about the ending, which I do agree with, by the way, that ending was god-awful, but we ain't got the time to discuss freaking why that is the case. But moving towards our point again, that was reactive verbalization of their complaints. We already paid for your product. There was really no boycott in place. In terms of boycotts, you've seen like the Left 4 Dead one that caved quickly. You've seen the Sonic one that was just horribly misguided. I mean, you've seen so many boycotts, quote unquote, fail. Boycotts really don't work. And I mean, look online. The vocal majority online, yes, we'll fight the machine. We'll rage against the machine.
Here's the thing. Here's what I've honestly been thinking almost is the fact that these rumors have been leaked by Microsoft and by Sony just to see what the community's reaction to this would be. Now, I'm not saying that's fact. I'm just saying that could be a very easy possibility as to what's going on with all these rumors and everybody latching on to the fact that this is a 100% fact when it's not. It's not confirmed, but everybody's reporting it like this is happening now.
Mm-hmm.
But part of me wants to say that, conspiracy theories aside, that Microsoft and Sony might have had something to do with the rumors just to see what was being said about them. And now I know that that's not true at all. Like, I'm not gonna tout that as fact because it's just something that sits in the back of my head because I keep it there because it sounds stupid and I don't believe it myself. But it's there and it's worth mentioning at least to just say, what if?
I think they know the reaction. I mean, obviously that's something that any basic person, we're gonna take away your right to use games. Obvious reaction. That sucks. People can bitch and whine, but I'll give you one quick example. Every year, I see online, COD is horrible. COD sucks. I'm not buying this one. This COD's shit. We're gonna see it fail.
And it's
every
the
year,
top-selling
it breaks
game.
The record of the one before. I'm the COD syndrome, even if they do that.
I don't care if it follows the same basic formula. Zelda and Mario have followed the same basic formula for years, and people don't complain about it.
Yeah, I think you misconstrue the analogy.
What I'm saying is, even if they are minor upgrades, people still play Madden every year, and that breaks records every year, too.
I'm referring to the fact that people online complain, people online say they won't buy it, and then everyone buys it.
Well, yeah, it's the same idea of, people saying online that Zelda is the same thing. They don't change anything. And Nintendo has gone on record saying with their Nintendo Direct last year that they are completely rethinking what Zelda is. And that, to me, is fantastic. And I wish Activision would do that with Call of Duty, because regardless of how much I do enjoy playing it, it needs to change at some point.
Well, see, I was more so using the analogy to gear towards the fact that online people will bitch about used games, which I personally would not like them taking away the used games, but I do believe wholeheartedly the gaming community is not united enough to actually say no and just completely boycott, or not even completely, but even a majority, even 51% or more. I don't think it would be enough to detriment the fucking sales. I think they'll get away with it.
Yeah, they probably will, but not enough people will be rich enough to buy it. But that's going to have to wait because we are definitely out of time.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But thank you for being our very first guest, and I think we had a fantastic podcast here.
I would definitely say so. Thank you for letting me pop your podcast chair. Yeah, I appreciate that. Very sweet.
I wasn't expecting that hour to go so well. Regardless of how much I'm probably going to get blasted if anybody actually listens to this entire hour. What was that, Nathan?
So probably not. Maybe I will.
But,
tomorrow I'll listen.
You never know. But we'll obviously find out when you post it.
I'm trying to figure out something to say to end it, because I know the Nerdist ends every podcast with enjoy your burrito, and I think that's hilarious. But I don't know. It's all.
All right, well.